apologize for starting late. Today's topic, I understand, has to do with compensation for damages, tort and the like. It happens to be interesting enough that one of the foremost scholars in this field, in the legal field, is a very religious Jew, Professor Aaron Tversky. If you heard about him, one of the Tversky brothers, who together with another professor wrote a textbook, very famous and very much used textbook on tort. He, in principle, focused on product liability. On product liability, which is part maybe of the discussion today too. It happens to be that the halakhic structure for compensation on damages of any sort is, as usual, exercer causis. It's quite noticeable by the simple fact that the Torah differentiates between nifke odom, between damages caused by a person. Nifke odom, I mean here in this case, when the mazik was a person, and between nifke memoinoi, damages that are caused by either person's property or something belonging to him. In either way, the basic distinction is that we do find, as far as compensation goes, there are no arbo dvorim, which means not compensation for the direct damage, but related damages, consequent damages, which is ripui, sheves, boishes. The arbo dvorim we don't find in Meniske behemtoi. We don't find it. And this is exercer causis. In principle, it should be no difference. In principle, it should be that if you ask for compensation, why should there be a different structure between those two? And in fact, Lahavdil, if our comparative law goes, you don't find those distinctions in the legal structure, in the secular legal structure. Now, we have to understand, however, something else. And this is that, as we spoke many times about it, a major element is missing in halacha. Not in halacha, I mean, it's not precise. A major element is missing in the application of halacha in today's time. And this is basic. What has basic to do with anything here? The answer is that basic fills in wherever we find that there is a lack of responsibility by people, and therefore establishing guidelines, structure, to educate people to further their responsibility. Which brings me to the discussion of insurance. We know that in America, for example, insurance is an integral part of industry. It's an industry on its own, but it's an integral part of any industry that you're doing. And here the question comes up, halakhically speaking, to what extent could we accept insurance to play this role? If it comes for the purpose of furthering the commerce of insurance in its own right, so the people who are in the industry of insurance should have an income, that's one thing. Certainly, Basin will have nothing to do with that. But if insurance is here playing the role of what we would call education, seeing to it that people should be more cautious in their behavior, then certainly we could accept the principle of Dinah Machusa in this particular case. And then we would say that this is the role Basin would have played. In the Marami Kremit, which I saw that you receive today, it's the insurance concerning physicians. Any physicians are there to take insurance. For that matter, I don't know if it's universally, I mean in America, accepted, but if I'm not mistaken, it's demanded that anybody who drives a car must have insurance. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is not only because we give an opportunity for the industry to develop itself and another source of income for insurance agents, insurance companies, employers, but it serves as a precaution. What's the precaution? A physician, to begin with, is not permitted to practice unless he's licensed. License today substitutes what basically would give permission for a roife, for a physician, to do his practice, to heal. Now, we don't have today basin knowledgeable, capable to issue this kind of license. So therefore, universities, those who are in charge of that, they give license. Consequently, if somebody fails, or somebody in any vain fashion is not up to the different tests that a person has to go through in order to obtain this license, so halakhically is not permitted to practice, no question about it. Now, he must have insurance. Why does he have to have insurance? For malpractice. Is there sometimes an abuse of insurance in this case? Certainly, like anything in life, everything that you have, any right as a person has, could be abused. But in principle, the purpose of it is to prevent abuse. To prevent the physician itself to be careless or negligent or not even close to negligent. Should think twice before he is doing that. He must know it, there will be consequences. So here, in my opinion, certainly insurance of a physician is analogically enforceable. It's incorporated in within the contract between the client and the physician, that if he has to show them that something which is according to medical practice is irresponsible, not defendable, then he is obligated to compensate the person damaged. In fact, halakhically speaking, although we have a concept which is called mazik b'rishus, and therefore, if the physician did something by permission of the patient, the criteria would be much more lenient than the regular Odom Muz Olam principle. Nevertheless, there is sometimes a situation when it is koros lemezik. If he did not practice what he was supposed to do in a proper fashion. And therefore, if now insurance steps in and pays what exceeds the particular compensation for the damage done to the client, to the patient, meaning beyond the straight or forward payments to the hospital and so on and so forth, but also giving a liability, having additional payments paid, which is like a penalty. It might well be, in my opinion, that halakhically this is defendable. Not only does it take in consideration sheves and boishes and everything else, but it also takes in consideration, as I said earlier, the element having cautioned the physician to be more prudent in practicing his practice. Being careful about it. And like we find in Chazal, often that there are knossos, and the knossos serve here for this very purpose. Similarly here too, I would feel that there is certainly a very good argument to be said that Dinan Malchus would be applied because, like the Remo says in Sim Shin Tamar Tes, the famous Remo, that whenever we have establish bedinim malchusa, what is letakonos amdina, something which serves the purpose of establishing appropriate and correct behavior of people, similar here too, in this profession, in order to prevent any kind of negligence, this might be part of takonos amdina. According to this, I would say it's not so simple that it's prohibited. Why I'm so careful with my language? Because those situations have to be looked upon case by case. You know, it's not so simple. Sometimes people take advantage. So I don't want to say mutter. Oh, Chaim Cohen said in a shir, it's mutter. I'm not saying it's mutter. But what I'm saying is, there is certainly a very good argument to this extent that it was negligence here, inappropriate behavior, and so on and so forth, which we also would have applied kenosas, as we find in Shulamot. There are kenosas in this kind of situation. Then why do we have a knas? Knas doesn't come here for the simple purpose of revenge or something of that sort. It's education. Kenosas is education. It's another means of education. Or preventive medicine, if you want to call it this way, right? So that's what we have here. So that certainly there's a good argument to say as far as this is concerned. It's true and right and correct. On a similar note, if you have car insurance, again, the same story. A person, I don't have to tell you that, if you take a driver's license, first if you take driver's license, so you're being told you should, please remember, if you are behind the wheel, you have here a tool in your hands where you could kill people. You know, depends on the teacher. You know, how much he wants to scare you. But it's true, in fact. People who do not, who are not driving carefully, if they're careless in the fashion and way how they drive, there is something to say about it, that we don't want to have everybody to drive on the street if he's not licensed and he does not have the proper insurance that makes him alert to more prudence. He should not be careless how he's, because at the end of the day he will have to pay for that, and the insurance will be after him as well, and so on and so forth. I had a case once, and this is also in within that category, which is in particular to the halacha that you learned last week, if I understand. Might to show you, there was a camp. And the camp had at one part of the camp was not yet completed. And I mean, it seems to be they didn't do the proper cultivation of the grass and so forth. So therefore there was a sump which was not noticeable for the naked eye, so to say. You couldn't see it. Now this camp failed to put proper signs to caution people not to cross over there. A person, here was an argument, if he knew or didn't know that this particular area is dangerous or he has to take caution, crossed and slipped, and at the end, consequently, he broke his leg, needed operation. I don't have to tell you the story. He was out of the job, out of his business, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, pain and so on and so forth. Okay. So the camp was willing to pay all the out-of-pocket expenses of the quote-unquote victim, of the person who was damaged. But now the people wanted to go after the camp for liability insurance. As any camp needs to have insurance, also they have insurance as well. And this wasn't such a simple situation. Why wasn't it simple? Because anybody who is in this business knows camps have major difficulties to obtain insurance to begin with. And although the insurance in that particular case, if the claim will be acknowledged, will pay, but the camp will have now extremely difficult time to obtain another insurance, never mind this insurance, but obtain another insurance, and sometimes even for higher wages will be very difficult. So here you have to examine the halacha in a very, very careful way and see if the formal principle that I just mentioned to you applies here or not. In other words, if you have here common ground, I mean ground which is used by everybody, and it's certainly true that halakhically speaking, this is a bo. It's a bo for oimid mi'elos, for the bo, which was not created by the owners, but it's a bo. No question about it. Also, in the Chachonot, and as such, mitzad nedek da mechuyif to pay. They're not mechuyif to pay abo dvorim, but the mechuyif to pay the compensation for direct nedek. As you know very well, you learn the halachas. Nedek by bo is very difficult to estimate how to do it. Very difficult. Halachically speaking, there are the mechaber and the remote. How to learn there? You know, it's difficult. If you, how much was it reduced from his ability to work and so on and so forth? So, I mean, his ability, either ability to work, or how much would he be worth to be sold? Well, we don't have a slave market today. Neither Eved Ivri nor Eved Knani, Russian, other Russian. Doesn't matter. It's a very to establish nezek is extremely difficult. And already the Achoni, the early Achoni grappled with this issue. So. Never mind, we're talking about Dvorim. Avos Dvorim, we don't have it. Okay, so now what are we going to say? We're going to say that insurance here substitutes Avos Dvorim. And not because Mitzad Adin, it is the Amichuyit, Mitzad Adin are not Mechuyit. But because of the preventive measure that we just mentioned earlier. Because we want now people who are running a camp to be more prudent and careful what they are doing and to put the proper signs there so people should not get damaged. And we are talking about something that logic, the Sefer Emushi says, as we find it in the person that you use, and I think I mentioned it to you also, that there is a concept which is called Mishpat Emushi, right? But we find it correct and right. What you did here, Rabbi Tzai, was incorrect. So therefore, maybe it isn't within that category, maybe not. Which means as follows, in that particular case that we have, it wasn't so simple altogether to say that the camp should be liable because the person who crossed the sump over there, this area, knew that somewhere there's a problem over there. So he should be more cautious. He should be more careful. He didn't know where it started. He didn't know where does the sump start. So, it wasn't that he was completely ignorant. On the other hand, it wasn't correct and right from the camp owners to have this area to be completely unsigned. You don't let such an area be not fenced or besides or something that you make people aware that you should know, don't cross it. And therefore it was a difficult story. I could not be mechayev. I wasn't able to be mechayvim. I had great chesh to be mechayvim, but I couldn't be mechayvim. So we had to work out some kind of apshari. So now, although legally speaking, they could have gone after the insurance, but as I said, if mitzad adin, they are not mechuyis, so then it's very difficult unless we cooperate here the concept of dinin and malchusa as takonos and dinin. It's very difficult to be mechayev them. Elimai said the damaged party, the victim, he said, okay, you know what, I'm willing, as far as I'm concerned, if Mir Tashem, I'm going to get a major compensation from the insurance, I'm willing to pay the difference, that the insurance will be increased to you. And the camp argued, okay, who said that they're going to get an insurance? You know, this in itself is a suffix. And he said, so, back and forth. One thing was sure, to apply the principle of Zenehene Vezeloi Chosen was very difficult here. Because we don't know Taki, we don't know if they are able to obtain insurance. And even if, let's say, the victim promised to compensate him for the difference of how much they have to pay, nevertheless, should I rely on that as the camp owner? It's not really so simple to say then and the lechosa. But you see, that's not simple. It's like a discussion. If I'm sitting on the bench and I have to pass on this, when my sympathy is really, I must say, to the victim, because they were negligent. You know, the camp owners were negligent. So was there an effect of negligence also by the victim himself? Yes, in a phenomenon. But who is the more who is more at fault in this case? I would say certainly the camp. That would be my feeling. But here it is. This is the issue. This is the issue at stake. This is the issue at stake. To have given the industry, the insurance industry, an opportunity to make money is wrong. To use it as a preventive measure, absolutely yes. This is Takon Sandini. And here we will have to see in each case when could be applied, when can't be applied. So this is the rest of the story I have to tell you today, and the rest I leave for my good friend, Harav Mendel. Thank you very much. Okay.